Today is from Genesis chapter 29, verse 17. Rachel was beautiful in form and beautiful in look. Jacob's wife Rachel was beautiful, and so was Rachel David Odner, whose life and resurrection we celebrate today. We read, as the years pass, elderly women in heaven who have believed in the Lord and cared for their neighbor and lived in contented married love with their husbands come more and more into the flower of youth and a beauty that surpasses any beauty we can visualize. It is their goodness and kindness that give them this beauty which radiates from every part of their faces. Their beauty is inexpressible, affecting the very inmost life of the mind with kindness. Love for the Lord and love for the neighbor are the fundamental loves of heaven. It is love for others that makes people into angels. The Lord says to those who live rightly, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." This is a fair description of how Rachel spent her life. Looking back over her decades of caring for others, it is hard to think of a time when she wasn't providing food, drink, and clothing, welcoming strangers, and caring for people who were sick and even imprisoned. She did a lot of feeding the hungry. She had a 20-inch frying pan, which she filled frequently. She would make huge pots of chili and soup. She bought peanut butter in 5-gallon pails. She would buy 50-pound bags of milk powder, enough for a lot of thirsty people. She canned many dozens of quarts of applesauce, cherries, tomatoes, mincemeat, pickles, and packed a 25-cubic-foot freezer with corn, fish, and ice cream. She baked bread, cakes, pies, and cookies, almost always doubling or quadrupling the recipes. Holiday gatherings would often include 25 or 30 people, so she would often go for the 25-pound turkeys, and she was still cooking big turkeys for family gatherings this past year at 90 years old. Rachel welcomed a lot of strangers. As if 7 children of her own were not enough, she also welcomed her children's friends and classmates who frequently came to play or for supper or to stay over a weekend. She invited Oliver's co-workers to dinner. In addition, there were extended family members, cousins, nephews, nieces, and foster children. Some of these people stayed for months and even years. She got to know her neighbors. She became president of the PTA. When I was 5 years old, my mother handed me a pie and told me to take it to an apartment next door where a lady with cerebral palsy had moved in. Gertrude Fisk's condition made it difficult for her to talk or walk, and many people avoided her or felt uncomfortable with what they saw as strange behavior. But Rachel saw only another human being who was just as much in need of compassion as the next person. So she reached out to her and helped her get through life for the next 3 decades. Often Rachel would be the first to approach a guest in church. She would find out something about the person and make a new friend. Just like angels. Angels really do love everyone. They want nothing more than to help people, to teach them, to lead them into heaven. This is their highest joy. For all who come into the other life are, without exception, welcome and accepted guests. The Lord said, "I was naked, and you clothed me." Picture getting 7 children ready to go ice skating on the neighbor's frozen pond. So many pairs of mittens and boots and skates and extra socks and snow pants. so many scarves and coats and hats on top of shirts and pants. She had to scour thrift stores, fire sales, and Sears catalog to find everything in the right sizes for all of us, not to mention all the laundry and mothballs it took to keep them throughout the year. Back in the days, before wash and wear clothes, when Oliver needed a pressed and starched white shirt each day for work, when diapers had to be washed and hung out to dry, she did laundry. Tons of laundry. With an old wringer washer and a clothesline. We were naked and she clothed us. We were sick or in jail and she visited us. When we suffered from chickenpox and measles and mumps and scarlet fever and whooping cough or flu, she brought us orange juice and medicine and vitamin pills and thermometers along with a little brass bell to ring for her help. She even visited or bailed out some who found themselves in jail or otherwise on the wrong side of the law. This kind of caring for others is what we are created for. We are not born to live for ourselves alone. We are born to live for others. Rachel cared for others a lot. At 14, she left school for a year to care for her infant twin siblings. Afterwards, she continued to help care for the family, especially when her father died 6 years later. After college, Rachel became a teacher in the Pittsburgh New Church School. She fell in love and married Oliver, and in 5 years had 5 children, with 2 more soon afterwards. Though having 5 under 5 with 3 in diapers was an immense challenge, she still had time to maintain her connection with friends and extended family. Rachel loved raising a family, though at times it was overwhelming. She loves her children and grandchildren. Yet she also loves raising spiritual offspring. According to New Church teachings, the wisdom that men have from the Lord knows no greater delight than to transmit its truths. And the love of wisdom that wives have in heaven knows no greater pleasure than to receive them as though in a womb, and thus to conceive them and carry them and give them birth. When the children were grown, Rachel became CEO of Odner Corporation, helping Oliver with his business of making chalkboard and whiteboard erasers. And after Oliver's retirement, Rachel began helping him with his book on mentics, learning all she could about the new model of the mind he was proposing so she could explain it clearly to others. Weren't these useful endeavors spiritual offspring conceived by Oliver and brought to birth by Rachel? After the book was finished and Oliver's health began to decline, eventually caring for Oliver became almost a full-time job for Rachel. It was only after Oliver left this world a few months ago that Rachel finally had time to just take care of herself. Rachel's love for others went much deeper than merely helping people out with their worldly needs. The Lord's intent for us is not only that we love people by doing obvious practical things for them, but that we love them wisely, with an understanding of what they really need, not only physically, but spiritually. Humankind, as it was first created, was steeped in wisdom and a love for wisdom, not for their own sake, but for the sake of sharing it with others. Rachel loved wisdom, and she loved learning and teaching. She was an exceptional scholar. At one point, the school gave her an IQ test, and she performed so well that the school wanted, at the very least, to skip her ahead to the next grade. Her older brother, Warren, was already in the class above her, and so she told her teachers to keep her in the grade she was already in and to act as if she had never taken the test. She didn't want to create any competition or feelings of inadequacy for Warren. Her relationship with him was a higher priority than scholastic advancement. Later, when she was in college, she wanted to take integral calculus, but she had not taken the prerequisite course, differential calculus. She asked Oliver to teach her differential calculus, and in 3 days, she learned it and had no trouble with the integral calculus course. Rachel taught her children things they would not learn in school. She drove her children to swimming lessons, music lessons, 4-H club, and scouts. She took them camping. She helped them care for animals, dogs, cats, rabbits, fish, birds, a horse, bees, pigs, sheep. And she taught them to clean and to cook and do laundry and mend and shop and garden. Above all, she taught them compassion and integrity by taking in people who needed a home or taking them to clean up people's houses after a flood or by setting an example of dealing honestly and faithfully with others. Rachel and Oliver loved going on walks around their property and their country neighborhood. Her love of learning followed her on these walks. Rachel especially loved identifying plants. She had field guides that she would often use and would often come home with a number of wild mushrooms for supper. New Church teachings tell of a botanist who died and went to heaven. He discovered there are plants, and he became quite excited. He wandered around a beautiful garden with more flowers than he had ever seen before, plucking and examining plants. Each one sparkled with unimaginable brightness because it was a product of the light of heaven. I am sure that Rachel, like that botanist, will be enjoying the sparkling beauty of flowers in heaven. And yet the angels say that the flowers are quite unimportant. And far greater wonder and beauty lies in the wisdom and understanding that the flowers symbolize. For Rachel, too, there is wisdom that is far more important than observing flowers, trees, and mushrooms. Rachel's love of learning was especially directed towards deeper truths about the Lord, about heaven and the Word. Those deeper truths spring from love. And they describe genuine love. They show the Lord's compassion for all people. They provide us with peace, hope, and trust in difficult times. They let us picture the splendor and joy of heaven. Deeper truths are truly beautiful. We all need truths of different kinds. We often start out with more worldly truths. They are practical, yet mundane. They give us a basic grasp of how to get by in life, but they don't lift our minds to a vision of heaven and of the Lord as deeper truths do. Our desire for outward truths and inward truths are symbolized in the word by Leah and Rachel. Leah, the older daughter of Laban, became Jacob's first wife. She had weak eyes. Perhaps she didn't see well. Or wasn't lovely. Rachel, on the other hand, was beautiful inside and out. People who are focused on superficial truths have weak eyes or a weak understanding of truth. They have feeble and shaky ideas, letting themselves get carried along by every puff of wind or to be won over by every opinion. When those same ideas are filled with more details from a spiritual perspective, they emerge as firm and steadfast ideas, ideas that are beautiful in form and appearance, as Rachel was. For example, some people have a superficial understanding of the truth that we are to do good to the poor. They may not distinguish between people who are truly destitute and people who just tell a sob story to scam someone out of their lunch money. they have even less comprehension of who is spiritually poor, namely people who are humble and not driven by ego. If we give money to a poor person who is addicted to drugs or has a gambling problem or who has criminal intent, we may end up doing more harm than good. But those who have internal truths know who the poor are and tell one poor person from another and do good to each of them according to his individual character. This is what Rachel kept striving for, to know how to help people in such a way that it would benefit not only their life in this world, but also benefit their spirits and help them on the path to heaven. Rachel loved learning the deeper, more inward truths, reading through the writings, attending classes, having home worship. She and Oliver made family worship a priority, along with religion lessons and Sunday worship in the home, which was sometimes listening to sermons recorded on reel-to-reel tapes, and at other times was taking turns reading paragraphs from a sermon in New Church Life. Rachel taught her children smatterings of Hebrew through songs like the song Hodu that we sang today, and the Ten Commandments in Hebrew, and the Lord's Prayer in Greek. This paved the way for most of her children to study these languages further in college. Rachel loved the deepest truths. The Arcana Celestia, or Secrets of Heaven, opens up the deeper levels of meaning in the Bible. And Rachel studied this work again and again over the course of many years. For a long time, she made a study of the nature of marriage in the highest heaven. In the Lord's spiritual kingdom, where goodwill rules, the men focus on understanding and wisdom, while their women focus on love. While in the heavenly kingdom, where they mostly just love the Lord, it is the other way around. Husbands focus on love, and their wives on the truths that express them. As Oliver and Rachel came closer to the heavenly kingdom, it seems that Rachel's love of learning and of deeper concepts became the perfect match for Oliver's growing desire to be guided by the Lord's will. When I was young and our family lived a couple of hours from Bernathan, we would make the trip several times a year for church and family visits. Rachel loved the social connections, lingering after church, while Oliver would rather get home, caring less for social connections. Or he would be happy to just stay home so that Rachel could linger longer in her visits. And yet he was also happy if she didn't linger too long. 6 months ago, Oliver went home. I think he was happy that Rachel had some time to linger in this world with her family and friends. But he didn't want her to linger too long. On a Friday evening last December, Rachel was not sure whether Oliver would make it through the night, so they spent an hour saying goodbye to each other. He was fine the next morning, but on Saturday evening, things again were uncertain, and they spent an hour saying goodbye to each other. The next morning, he was again awake, and they could say their final goodbyes. I think both Rachel and Oliver needed that time to say goodbye for the next 6 months. Would be their longest separation since their wedding. About a week ago, Rachel slipped quietly out of this world. There was no fanfare, no goodbyes. Her passing was like that of people whose spirits are more pristine than what most of us have. A person living a truly good life would not know any sickness and would only grow weak when approaching extreme old age, finally becoming a young child again. But now a young child with wisdom. And when the body was no longer able to serve the inner person, which is the spirit, the person would pass, without knowing any sickness, from the earthly body into a body such as angels possess, and so would pass from the world directly into heaven. There are people like this who do not die from illnesses, but peacefully, as in sleep, and in that condition pass from the world into heaven. Perhaps she did not need to say goodbye. She had reached a point that she was not as much needed by others, and her visits with others began to be more about people caring for her than about her caring for others. She began to have a lot of time alone in her house, sorting out physical belongings that had less and less importance for her. To those who believe that their spirits will continue in the next life, the other life is the whole of their thought and affection, and the world is nothing in comparison. In the same way, it seems that saying goodbye was not important. Her focus was on the next life and on saying hello. If we, like Rachel, can come to love those deeper truths, not as something to know, but as something to do, we will be close to her in spirit and experience the same beauty that shone from her face. And the spiritual world will become increasingly important to us while we focus less and less on things of this world, including the sense of separation from those we love. Though we miss Rachel now, the spiritual focus will lift us up from the plodding time of this world to a state free from impatience and anxiety. And the years till we are with Rachel again will seem like a few days because of the love that we share with her. Amen.